Welcome to Sunday Mornings at Kairos with Pastor Brent. If it's your first time joining us today, you are our VIP. Hopefully, someone from our greeting team connected with you and got you a VIP bag. If not, stop by the Connect area after service to grab one. Inside that bag is a free drink card for Echo Coffee and some information to help you learn more about Kairos. Also, there is a Connect card. Please take time to fill that out today so we can help you get connected to Kairos. If you haven't already, now is a great time to get your kids birth to fourth grade checked into Kids Ministry. We also have our new fifth and sixth grade ministry called Movement. Be sure to get them checked in as well. If your kids will be staying with you, we have a packet of activities for them to do during service. Grab one at any kids check-in area. Here's what we have in store today. Moment Maker Spotlight, backed by popular demand, Bible Trivia Battle. Special guest, Jennifer Sterk of Echo Ministries and Saeeda McRae of Feeding Haven Food Pantry. Pastor Brent will lead us in a time of prayer, praise, and scripture, followed by a time of worship. Lastly, someone will get to spin the wheel of giving. Before we begin, take a few moments now to greet someone around you. Now, join me in welcoming Pastor Brent to the stage.
Yeah, all right. I always feel more important than I actually am when Adam announces me to the stage. You know what I'm saying? It's great. He has a wonderful voice. Well, good morning. Welcome. How are we doing today? Hi. I'm going to have some people razzing me the whole time in the front row. Who let these teenagers sit up here? Well, we are so glad that you're here with us today. If it is your first time with us, please know this isn't what we normally do. I'm not normally sitting behind a desk, and so that's just the thing. And sure, you're like, this church is weird. I don't know what's happening, but this is weird. We're having some fun kind of closing out summer, and we're doing a focus on missions within our church, missions that we partner with locally, and then also international missions as well. And so we're just going to have some fun today, and so I hope you enjoy that. Last week when we kicked this whole thing off, we talked about what we're called to do as a local church and ways in which you can get involved in what we do as a local church. And we highlighted kids ministry. We highlighted our new ministry, Movement, fifth and sixth grade. Actually, this is really cool. They have a role. They come in for worship at the beginning, and they had 12 kids here for fifth and sixth grade ministry. Filled an entire row back there, so that was really cool. And so we talked about that. We talked about youth ministry. Patrick was up here, and we also talked about crews and serving. And so we just talked about all these ways in which you can get plugged in, get involved in what the church is doing. And that was a lot of fun. Today, I'm excited to talk about foster care and food pantry. We have a local missions ministry that we work with called Echo, and then one that is starting out of our church called Feeding Haven. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then after that, we'll do two more weeks of this, and we're going to continue to highlight missions, ministry partners that we work with locally and internationally. Next week is going to be really cool. We're bringing in Brad Beatty from Heart for Winter Haven. He's going to share about what they do in our community, and then we get to hear an exclusive message from Pastor Gary of Ireland for Jesus about the work that they're doing over in Ireland as they plant churches, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to close this whole thing out, and we're going to bring out a regional representative of something called the Care Portal, and we're going to begin to be a Care Portal church here in our community, and you're going to get to meet our missions director, Larry Renfro. So it's just really, really fun, and I hope you'll join us for each and every week. We're going to do some fun things as well as we go throughout this series. One other thing, we have another ministry partner. It's the Mission for Winter Haven. We're doing a food drive. When you came in, you probably saw we already filled a rack of food for them, and we're going to keep doing doing that every single week for the entire month of August. So bring those food items in with you on Sunday, or you can bring them in during the week when Echo Coffee is open. But thank you if you've already brought and provided food. That's an amazing thing when we get to partner with that ministry. Okay, so that's kind of some things that are happening, what's going on. And then one of the other things we want to do is, because they're so vital to what we do and it's kind of just who we are as a church, we want to take just some time highlighting some of our moment makers. These are our volunteers at Kairos Church who serve in various ministries throughout the church. I always tell people, like, Kairos isn't Kairos without our moment makers. It's about the people. It's about them serving. It's about how they come alongside each of us and stand shoulder to shoulder to do and serve in the mission of the local church. So today, I want to highlight two. It's a couple. It's James and Hallie Robinson. And James and Hallie have been with us for a little bit over a year now and gotten connected in multiple different ways. James is sitting on the camera. I'm going to point him out. Wave hi to everybody, James. He's serving right now. That's one of the areas. He serves in presentation during service and also throughout the week. He also, him and his wife both serve in the youth ministries. They were actually both at camp 2 weeks ago and I think had a good time there. I don't know. You'd have to ask him if he had a good time or not. It's, you know, it's one of those things you go once and you probably never want to go again. But I believe they had a fantastic time. I've even hosted a D-Now at their home as well. And so that's really cool. Hallie serves in kids ministry in the nursery as well as in leadership for Sisterhood. And as you can see, there was a picture of them. This was them getting baptized together last year out at Lake Eva. And so we're just, man, yeah, you can give it up for that. We are blessed that God brought them to our church, blessed by what God is doing in their lives and the way that he's moving, and excited for all the things that God's going to continue to do through them. So Moment Maker Spotlight, thank you, James and Hallie Robinson, for all that you do week in and week out. All right, here's what we're going to do. Last week, we did Bible Trivia Battle with Pastor Brent, and I had such a good response, and so many people were like, I wanted to participate. I'm like, all right, well, let's do this thing again. Last week, we learned about Judges. This week, we're going to be doing, the subject is Name That Wife. So if you have a buzzer, if you have one of these, take your buzzer out, hold it up, and you're just going to want to switch it to the on position. I'm going to do the same on mine here. Beep, boop, bop, boop. Okay, so switch that to the on position and hold it up for me. I just want to see where you're at. And then do me a favor, when you push your buzzer, just hold it up so I could know where it's at. Because I only see numbers, and when I see the numbers, it doesn't really mean anything to me. And so I'd like to know who I'm talking about. But as soon as you ring their buzzer, hold up your color, only one buzzer can ring at a time. So if you're not fast enough, you lose, okay? That's how that works. And so I'll ask the question. If you know the answer, ring the buzzer, shout it out. If you don't have a buzzer, zip it. Unless you want to whisper the answer to someone with the buzzer. I'm all for, you know, crowd participation, but don't shout it out. Tell someone with the buzzer closest to you if you know the answer. All right, my contestants, we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, name that wife. Here's the first one. Who is the wife of Moses? Oh.
Zipporah.
And however, anyone else know who's Moses' wife's name, Zipporah? Anyone else know that? Raise your hand. Okay, I told the last service, if you want to remember her name, just think about a zipper and remember the fact that Zipporah circumcised Moses' sons. Okay, here we go. And that's what you get to take with you the rest of the day. All right, next question. Good job. She cheated. She looked at the answers. I'm just kidding. This one, be quick on the draw, but also answer correctly. So pay attention to the question. Who is the wife of Abram?
Sarai.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even finish, and she had buzzed in. It is Sarai. If you were going to say Sarah, that's the wife of Abraham. Yes, they are the same person, but my question was very specific because it went, they were Abram and Sarai, and then God changed the name to Abraham and Sarah. There you go. Facts dropped. Here we go. Next one. This is a fun one. You don't get to answer this time. Maybe you do. Who is the wife of Hosea? Hey, hey, you people without the buzzers. Gomer. One of the best female names for a baby. So if you're pregnant, you know, you're having a girl, Gomer. Gomer's a great one. Or Zipporah, either one. You can call her Zippy. Okay. Next question, here we go. Who is the wife of... Who's the wife of Isaac?
Rebecca.
It is Rebecca.
Leah.
I don't know who gave her that. She stole that. Okay. Why are you just shouting out random names? I didn't even ask a question. Man, this is, who invited her to church? Okay. That's my wife, by the way. And I'm glad she's here. People are like, wow. Okay. Next question. Who is the wife of Zechariah?
Elizabeth.
Yeah, we jumped over the New Testament. This is the mother of John the Baptist. All right, pay attention to this question. Who is the first wife of David? First wife. Ooh. Michal. Okay, I'll give you a half point for getting mostly, it's mostly right. Did anyone know any other wives of David? Random names?
Bathsheba.
Everyone's like, I don't know about Bathsheba. Any other ones? Abigail is another one. Okay, but first wife. Okay, you got that one. That was King Saul's daughter. Wife, how many of you got right? Are you just like the reigning champ on this thing? Was that three, four?
Three, I think.
We'll do one more because she's a cheater. Okay, who is Jacob's first wife?
Rachel.
Ah, you're wrong!
Wait, what'd
she say? She said Leah.
Yeah, it was Leah.
Yeah, he was tricked into marrying her. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you don't get this. You don't get this. Who answered other questions? Over here? Yeah, come here, get this free Echo drink card. Oh, you had help? You had helpers. Well, you're gonna have to get a drink and split it, get two cups and all that. Thank you so much. Well, there you go. We did a little bit of learning today about things in the Bible. So that's just a little bit of fun that we get to have each and every week. And thank you all for participating. I'm sorry you came to this service and my wife stole the show. That's just how it goes. okay. She's used to me being like that, by the way. They're probably like, man, she has to live with this guy. Like, that's a tough life. Okay, we're going to move into bringing some of our guest speakers up. Before we do that, I want you to check out this video.
Ten years ago, our family was called to try out an adoption class. A group of us decided not just opening our homes, but how about we start maybe a support group, maybe there's other people out there that are doing this or are interested in doing this. We approached our church just to do a simple diaper drive to help support families and provide needs for kids, and learned that there weren't resources available for these families, and we knew at that moment exactly what God wanted us to do. So ECHO stands for Everyday Christians Helping Orphans, and we were designed to echo the heart of God for children in foster care, adoptive, relative, and non-relative homes. We provide tangible needs and spiritual guidance to the children and the families through our multiple ECHO shops located in Polk Highlands in Hardy County, Central Florida. We've expanded as well, so we're not only reaching families through the shops, but we've partnered with a local church, opened a coffee house, which encourages community within these families and brings awareness to the need for foster adoptive families in our community. One in particular, a family had requested high chairs. Now, when I got the call, I heard high chair. When she arrived to pick up the high chair, she said, "Is there two?" And I said, "No, I only heard one." She goes, "Oh, I have twins." So then one day later, my husband drives up and says, "I had a high chair donated from a customer of mine." And I go outside and it's the exact same high chair that had been donated and picked up by her. I got the opportunity to call her and let her know that God had gotten identical high chairs for her identical twins, which was incredible. We get to witness, really this is all his testimony, so we get to witness him work so intentional in individuals' lives all the time. It's really the blessing of volunteering with this organization. We learned in this process that the church has really stepped out of the caregiving world. There are some organizations that are involved, but as a whole, it's a government operation. Our goal is wherever there's a local licensing agency, for there to be an ECHO Ministries, a safe place, a loving place for families to go when they need anything for the children in their care, and to work side by side with the families, case management, and the system so that we are a healthy support and that we're there to show the light of Christ.
Powerful, powerful video. I've seen that video so many times, and it gets me every time. And that's just a snapshot of what ECHO Ministries does. Will you do me a favor and join me in welcoming to the stage Jennifer Stirk of ECHO Ministries? Hi, friend.
Hi.
Fancy seeing you here.
I said this in the last service, but that's my son behind us. And he's so upset because he didn't get a hat. And that's his disgruntled face behind my husband and I.
Well, it's really cool. And I shared this about that video. That a lot of the footage from that video was from the opening of our location here, our ECHO shop. And so maybe if you're new here, you don't know. Like, we have an upstairs located in the back. And once we moved into this location, I reached out to Jen and I said, hey, we got a spot for you. And it's just always really cool just thinking about all the families that we've served throughout the years through our church, through this partnership. But before I get ahead of myself, really quickly, take a few moments to just kind of introduce yourself to them, share about your family.
Sure. So I am a wife and a mother, so I've been married for 20 years. My husband couldn't be here today. He's on the worship team at our church. I have a 19-year-old son leaving for college, and then I have a 13-year-old daughter named Zipper.
Is that what the Zippy name? Or Zipporah?
Zippy, that's what you said. Yeah, yeah, no. Her name is Lily Kate, and she's usually with me. So if you follow us on social media, you'll probably see her. She's like my right-hand man. My family lives in Lakeland, Florida, and we are just grateful to partner with you guys these years.
Very important question. What's your favorite coffee?
I like the vanilla cold foam. Is that not a order on the menu drink?
On ours?
Yeah.
We have vanilla cold foam, but there's you have to get it with something. You can't just have a cup full of vanilla cold foam. I mean, I guess you could. You could have a cup of vanilla cold foam. It probably wouldn't be horrible.
I sent my daughter down with that order.
There won't be any caffeine content in that.
And I got a drink.
Anyone else do vanilla cold foam on their drink? A few people. If you haven't, you're missing out. It's a whole coffee drinking experience. Don't drink it with a straw. That's the number one thing. If you get cold foam, don't drink your coffee. You got to drink the coffee through the... Anyway, we're getting off topic.
It's an experience, I heard.
It's an experience.
You can't blend it like a macchiato or something. You're supposed to...
Yes. Just tell us how long ECHO has been around and just the whole story behind that.
Sure. So this would be our 14th year, and we started... My husband and I were interested in growing our family, and there's a gap between my two children, and so we had a conversation with the Lord, and we were like, if we don't have any, we're just going to go get some. And so we tried an adoption informational class, and then I immediately got pregnant. And but we had already connected with families in our churches, and so we were kind of walking through the process together. And so we started a diaper drive at our church. Our pastor was really supportive, like your pastor is here. And we got hundreds of diapers. So we took them to Heartland and realized they didn't have a place to store them or a system in place to distribute them. And so when we walked out of the building, we knew in that moment, this is what God wanted us to do. So we opened our garages and started just taking in donations. And we would set up a table at a local support group with our dollar store tablecloth looking so fancy. And we would distribute every time they had a meeting. And then it just grew and grew, and we got our first location from a foster parent at a church in Auburndale. And there was a building in the back the church didn't use, and they said that we could. And we built our racks with poles and wood and started the process on what it would look like to really be able to support families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 14 years, started as a diaper drive. And, man, it's grown that the Auburndale locations, when we moved out here to plant the church,
we were foster parents, and that location actually served my family and the children we had in care. Now, there was a problem with the roof, and they had to shut down for a while, but they came back, and they got that paid for, and that's the whole thing. And so, like, I learned about the ministry, and I was like, I love this. I love what you're doing for foster parents and for these children. It's an amazing thing, not something that we had, and I was like, I want to be your champion. And I got to be that in different ways, but we were a new church and meeting at a school, and when we moved in here, that's when I immediately knew, like, man, we can really, really partner with this ministry in a big way. And so that's what Echo does. One of the things that Echo does is partners with churches. It is the main thing. And basically, we provide the space, the volunteers, and then all the donations and everything come to the shop, and families get to come and shop. It depends on the shop, but 3 times a month. And it's just an amazing thing. How many locations do we currently have?
We have 4 across the state of Florida. So we had 3 in Central Florida, and then we have 1 in South Florida, Sunrise, which is in the Fort Lauderdale area. And you're so humble when you're like, oh, you know, I come in and I was helpful. I had stickers sent to my house, okay? He had, like, rebranded us and came up with all these ideas. I'm sure you guys are very used to this with all of the different things that he does with the sermons. It was just as incredible for us, too, not used to having that. So I'm really grateful.
Yes, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I rebranded them without asking, I think is the reality.
No, he asked, and I was like, whoa, and then he sent stuff over, and I'm like, this guy is really talented. So you guys.
Well, that's cool. So just 4 locations, and talk about just how many needs have been met, how many kids have been served just in the last year.
So far this year, we're at 240, and that's not... and the number may not seem large, but these are a lot of kids that are reoccurring every month because they live with relatives.
So that's 240 at
your location.
Our location. Kids
yes.
Have been
yeah. So we have Auburndale, and then we have Bowling Green, and then Sunrise. So yeah. The 2 here will average. This one can average anywhere from 60 to 100 kids a month, and then Auburndale would do probably 80 to 120 a month.
Yeah, and you can go if you go on the website echominfl.com and you scroll down, you can see. Just the numbers of needs that were met, and it's just an amazing thing.
Yeah,
thousands upon thousands of needs being met through this organization's partnership with the local church, and it's an amazing thing. But you don't just do the shops; you also do some other stuff. So talk about the bags for kids and the beds for heads.
Sure. So we build first night bags. We call them that. They're placed within 48 hours of a child being placed in a home. We have a bag that's dropped off at the front door for each of the children. These bags are designed specifically for kids in foster care. On the outside is Joshua 1:9 monogrammed. There is a tabbed out children's Bible, a pair of pajamas that are sized and gendered. There's homemade quilts. There are stuffed animals from a lavender farm for foster kids, flashlights and nightlights because it's their first night in a strange home. Essential items like hygiene products and things like that. So the first 24 to 48 hours, the caregiver's scrambling to try to get whatever they can for the kids that have just been dropped off. So what God wanted to do is help alleviate that problem and really connect the church to the people in their community that are opening up their homes. And so we equip the church to do those things. So we do it through our shops, but now we're partnering with Care Portal and Care Portal churches.
Yeah.
And we give them the bags, and we also give them bunk beds. So we build bunk beds out of our headquarters in Lakeland, and it's a twin over twin, all wood. And we partnered with Ashley Furniture, and they are donating all the mattresses and all of the bedding. So we can do that for two, yes. And I'll tell you really why that is such a big deal. So when you're in an abusive situation, it's not so traumatic for the child to be removed from their abuser. It's more traumatic for them to be removed from their siblings because they will band together to care for one another. And so when they go to place children in a home, if there aren't enough beds for those kids, they will separate them. They have to by law. And so we wanted to alleviate that issue. And it was a very high cost as well, beds and mattresses. And so we got with a local carpenter and drew up some plans, and we have a workshop where guys come in every quarter and they build out bunk beds, and we can do it for a fraction of the cost. And so we do that to try to keep those siblings together and then meet them at the door with the bag and then connect with them, and they can come and shop every month.
And it goes full circle. And so it's so much. It's just kind of enveloping them in care in so many ways. I think one of the other things that's really important to understand is, like, this partnership with churches is very, very intentional. Like, we want to meet the tangible needs, but I know Jennifer's heart with all of this is also to meet the spiritual needs, because we know that's a big part of it. And many of these families, especially, you know, definitely biological, but, you know, sometimes there's relative caregivers that they're not connected to a church. They're not connected to community. They don't have people praying for them, and we want them to know that they're supported in that way, and that's a huge part of the shops as well. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, no, the majority of our families do not go to church, and so we always encourage people that that's why it's important that our volunteers are Christians and that they see and feel the presence of God when they walk into the shops. And yeah, they do ask us. Like, I've gotten asked many times, even by business leaders, they're like, we're not like you, but we like you.
Yeah.
You know, we like what you're doing. We just don't understand why you do it like that. And it's free. That's weird, you know, because everybody
weird.
Likes a profit. So,
oh, man.
But everything we do is free. So the beds are free. The bags are free.
Yeah.
All the clothing that we donate is free.
So there's the model of the ministry, it has evolved and grown over the years. And the desire is to have dignity and to provide children in care with new clothing.
Correct.
And so you guys are getting, you kind of are changing into this new model of ministry. Will you take a few moments to share about the Closet Cruise and what that looks like and how people can get involved in that?
Sure. So we used to take in new and like new items. And everybody's idea of what is good and donated and reusable is different. And so it was a lot of legwork to go through a lot of the donations. And we noticed that God was slowly moving and transitioning us to new. And he would speak to us about the dignity of these kids and how important it is to restore that. And a lot of that has been lost. And so a lot of the kids that come in, I was saying in first service, we actually had a 12-year-old who had never been in a store to purchase something for himself. Like a parent had never taken him in. They had either it was hand-me-downs or whatever they had available. And that's the reality for a lot of kids. And so God wants to do something different, and he wants to show them different when they walk in the door. And not just that he's a spiritual leader and then they hear about him, but when they have a need or a desire to just want a new pair of shoes for school and to fit in with the rest of the kids, that he's going to hear them and he's going to meet that need. And we actually had that. It was so cool this yesterday. We had a family come in and she said, I haven't been in a while, but I really needed new tennis shoes for my kids for back to school. And we actually had a teen over the summer sell bookmarks, like craft paper bookmarks. They were really cute. And she raised $130 for us. So we took that $130 and we multiplied it. And what we did was we purchased through another organization a bulk of something at a discounted price. And we were able to get 18 pairs of brand new Nike shoes in because of her donation. And they were here yesterday, and every single one of those kids got brand new pairs of shoes for school.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing.
God's good.
So if they want, if there's an organization or a small group or even another church wants to partner with you guys to provide clothes, what does that look like?
So yes, the Closet Crew, I got off track there. So in our inventory room in the back of the shop, we have totes, the gray bins you get at Walmart, and they're sized out by gender and by size. So newborn all the way to double XL, because we have newborns and teens. So what the community or an individual or a small group can do is adopt one bin for one calendar year. And so I could adopt girls 10, 12. And for the year, I just commit to keeping those items in stock in that bin. And this is great for, like, if you have a women's Bible study, it's about 25 outfits in a tote. And you guys can just commit to keeping, like, one outfit a month and bringing it into your group. And the end of the month, just bring it into the shop to us. There are some sizes that are smaller, only need to be filled probably 3 times out of the year. So we have a variety of opportunities to be able to donate.
Yeah.
That will put new clothes on our racks for these kids, which would be absolutely incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very impactful to the children.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things happening, a lot of ways to get plugged in. You got a fundraiser coming up. Share a little bit
golf
about
tournament.
The fundraiser.
Yes. So September 19th, we have a golf tournament. I didn't get the date right. That's great. Shotgun start at 8 a.m., and it's at the Bartow Golf Course. If you play, please come.
Anybody play golf?
Grab some people.
I didn't say if you're good at it. Anybody play
That's
golf?
Awesome. If you know anybody. So I was speaking in a business leaders group, and there were some guys in the group that love to play golf, and they were like, any excuse I can do, you know, I can have to get on the green, I'll do it. So if you have people at your work that golf or you know people, please share this.
Yeah.
Please.
You can share it. And I have some of these printed out. You can grab one of these, take it to someone else you know that plays golf. Maybe you don't, but you're like, man, they could go. And this is another way to help give back and help this ministry do what they do each and every week. And really, the biggest thing about all of this is going like, there is a need. The need is huge, especially in Polk County, especially in Florida. And I believe we're all called to be a part of that. Maybe not to be a foster parent, maybe not to be an adoptive parent, but each of us can do something. Each of us can get plugged in some way, whether it's, you know, being in one of the foster closet crew and providing for that, whether it's giving financially, whether it's going to golf for this thing. If you come and buy coffee at Echo Coffee, it goes to helping the ministry that we are partnered with. And so I'm just saying, man, as you hear about these things and serving kids, this is a wonderful thing to get a part of. Nothing can substitute for serving up an Echo. And seeing a child's face light up, seeing a foster parent or a relative or non-relatives, you know, you can just see the ease, the tension kind of, or the tension be eased and the burden be lifted as these kids are blessed through this ministry. Jen, thank you for what you do. Thank you for partnering with us. We appreciate you. Would you give it up for Jen?
Thank you.
Now, what I want to do is we have one other ministry that we want to highlight. This is a ministry that is going to be starting here in September and October. It's one of our very own Moment Makers, Saida McCray. Would you join me in welcoming her to the stage? All right. Well, welcome. Well, Saida has been attending our church. I believe it was 3 years, you told me, right? 3 years you've been coming, and she. We've talked about this desire that you have to open a food pantry for some time now, and I'm so excited that it's finally coming to fruition. Tell me a little bit about yourself, about your family, and about coming to Kairos. Sorry, I kind of got, yeah.
So I'm originally born and raised Bronx, New York. I grew up in a low-income community, so in 2014, my mom decided to give back to the community, and she opened up a food pantry. With that food pantry, I would volunteer week after week. She actually had a pantry once a week. So I volunteered a lot with that. We would go and feed the homeless for Thanksgiving. We would do a midnight run. So we would partner with restaurants, and the restaurants would cater the meals. And we would go out and take items that they can eat on the spot. So like bread, peanut butter, fruits. And the restaurant provided a plate for every homeless individual. So we had about 300 plates for the midnight run. And we partnered with the local police department. So we actually had officers helping us hand out the food. And this actually made it on the news. This was in 2015 and in 2016. So I moved to Florida 8 years ago, and that was just laid on my heart to continue giving within the community. And I remember looking up online local churches, and I found Kairos. And I just send an email, and in my head, I'm like, is this church going to reply? And Pastor Brent replied in like 48 hours. So that's how I found Kairos. So I started coming to Kairos, and I let him know of the vision that I had. So this has been in the works for 2 years, and now it's finally taking off.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't ask you last time, and so what is your favorite coffee drink?
So I love coffee. My favorite would be the cold brew with lavender cold foam.
Ooh, there's something to try right there. Cold brew with lavender cold foam. You might have a new coffee drink. I don't know. Could be. You guys will have to switch coffee drinks. So that's awesome sharing about that. So this is something that you've been working on, and it's getting ready to launch. So talk to us about what that's going to look like and your soft launch and your opening and stuff like that.
So for us, the soft launch will be September 10th. So what that looks like is a mobile pantry. So if you're in need of food or you know anyone that is in need of food, you would just go ahead and reach out to me. It doesn't matter the time of day. It could be in the middle of the night. We will go ahead and deliver you food that'll last for about 3 to 4 days. This is especially good for foster parents. Let's say you get a child at 4 a.m. We'll come out within the hour and deliver food and clothing if we have clothing on hand for that child. The hard launch will then be October 15th. That one looks like the first and third Saturday of every month. It'll be here at Kairos in the back parking lot. So for that one, you'll just drive your vehicle up to where we are, and let's say there's three individuals in the car, we'll give you three sets of food. So you can be from the same household, but you'll get, like, for example, 3 gallons of milk, three bags of potatoes. So these shipments that we're getting, they're anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 pounds of food. So we'll have about 20 to 25 pallets. When it comes to volunteers, I do have some volunteer forms in the back that you can pick up. You would just fill out the volunteer form, and then I'll personally reach out to you with that schedule, because we will need a lot of volunteers. Yeah. My goal is to have a lot of teens volunteer, especially high schoolers that are looking for community service hours. This would be a great opportunity.
Yeah, awesome. And so as this thing gets rolling, you know, there are going to be ways for them to serve, ways for them to give. Well, just talk about what that's going to look like. How are you going to get people connected to what you're doing, whether it's web, social media, stuff like that?
So for social media right now, we're looking on launching a website. We'll also be on Instagram and Facebook. So in the very beginning, I'll be posting, try to post like through the Kairos website. And then from there, we'll be giving out flyers and everything for the actual pantry site.
Awesome. And so if this is something that you're saying, hey, this, I want to get involved in this, me and my family want to get involved with this, I would absolutely connect with Saida after service. Grab one. I didn't grab one of the things. She has volunteer forms that you can fill out and get plugged in, get connected to begin serving, you know, people in our community that, you know, suffer from food insecurity, and we can help meet those needs in such a huge way. So Saida, we're excited for you, and as soon as we have all that stuff, we'll keep sharing this stuff with you. It'll be a great way for you to get plugged in. Thank you both so much for what you're doing and the things that God is going to do through you and your ministries. Will you guys give it up for Saida and Jennifer? Just really, really powerful, powerful stuff that we get to be a part of, and I love... I don't know, just the way that God connects people, connects them to the churches, and calls people into these ministries. And it's something that, you know, you can't do it alone. And I go, man, the church should be stepping in and helping meet these needs. And so these are just some ways for you to get plugged in. I want to move into our time of prayer and praise and kind of almost make it focused on this and challenge you in some way. But before I do that, here's what I'll say. If you haven't yet, in the seat back in front of you, there'll be something like this. And there is a prayer and praise card. And so I would encourage you at some point before service is over, fill one of these out. You can also scan the QR code and fill it out online. The prayers and praises are a big part of what we do week in and week out. But I want to challenge you specifically about praying, about what God is calling you to do, maybe a next step for you to get involved, whether it's in what we talked about last week, serving here, whether it's joining one of the missions, ministries that we just highlighted, or something moving forward in the coming weeks, just saying, God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? That's my challenge to you. Now, within our church, because we've had such a close connection with Jen, fostering and adoption is a big part of my life. We have a lot of foster families. We have a lot of people who serve foster families, non-relative, relative caregivers, adoptive parents, stuff like that. I wanted to take a moment to recognize them and also pray over them. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and there'll be 4 different categories. If you are a foster or have been a foster parent, relative care, or non-relative caregiver, will you stand right now? Foster, adoptive, relative, non-relative caregiver. Thank you very much. If you please, if you can, stay standing. If you have adopted a child, would you please stand as well? You get to, I would stand, but I'm going to stay seated. And then if you work and serve children and families, whether it's as a case manager, a CPI, a guardian ad litem, or through a ministry like Echo, or if you've served in Echo or any other ministry within our local community, would you please stand so I could pray for you as well? Awesome. Man, look at that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray with you and over you. So join me in praying. God, we thank you right now for these individuals who have answered the call, who have, man, chosen to stand in the gap, to come alongside children and families in need as they have gone through trauma and difficult experiences, God. It is a hard calling. It is a holy calling, we know that it is a necessary calling, God. And so, God, I thank you for all that they've done, all that they're doing, all the ways that you've called them to serve. I thank you for the obedience and their willingness, God. I want to recognize their sacrifice that they make day in and day out to love on the least of these, to love on the fatherless, to love on, the downcast and the desolate and those who are in distress. God, we pray that you continue to honor them and bless them for all that they're doing for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. That was awesome. You can be seated. That's fantastic. That was an amen from that dog. So that's awesome. Here's what I'll say to you, just really quickly as I close this out. Like, you know, this is one of those things. Like, I've been a foster parent. I am an adoptive parent. I've been an adoptive. I got rid of them. And it is a high calling. It is a hard calling. And I also know that it's not a calling for everybody. Not everyone is going to be called into foster care. But each and every one of us, as believers in God, I believe we are called to help and come alongside those who are in distress. This comes from James 1:27. And so it may not be you stepping in to be a foster parent or be a relative or non-relative giver or to be an adoptive parent, but there is something that you can do. There's always something that you can do. Echo Ministries provides many opportunities for you to come alongside these families. Feeding Haven, many opportunities to come alongside these families in different ways. And so that is my encouragement to you. If you feel any kind of pull, if you feel God pulling you in a direction to serve in some capacity, there's always going to be an excuse. There's always going to be a reason why not to, but I'm telling you right now, if you will be obedient to take the first step to where God is calling you, will it be hard? Absolutely. Will you be blessed? Absolutely. And that's what I've seen in my life. That's what I've seen in so many people's lives. And so that's my challenge to you. Step into it if God is calling you into it. One of our values here at Kairos Church is to love the fatherless. And here's what it says. We will do our part to provide help, hope, and love for orphans and those advocating for them. And I'm saying each and every one of us can do something, can step in to stand in the gap for these children and for these families that are in need. One of the other things I want to share too as it goes along with the food pantry is, like, we talk about loving the fatherless, and I believe this extends out to those who deal with homelessness, to those who deal with food insecurity, because a majority of them, if you look, majority of them will suffer or be affected by fatherlessness. And what that means is that at some point they did not have a father figure in their life. Or if they did have a father figure in their life, it was not a good one. It was abusive, there was neglect, there was no protection. And so you have this section where they don't have a father caring for them, loving for them, protecting them a way that a father should. The other issue is that they've never been connected to the Heavenly Father. They've not been introduced to him, and they're not in a relationship with him. And I go, church, it is our job to introduce them to the Heavenly Father. His love, his grace, his compassion, his peace, his comfort. If you've ever been hurt by your father, you know, it's one of those things where you go, I always tell people, like, the Heavenly Father, man, is so much greater than any earthly father could ever be. And my hope is that I've helped my kids see past, you know, my sin, my mistakes, and say, man, I serve a Heavenly Father that'll love you, that'll be there for you. And I go, man, so many people need this in their lives. And I'm going, it is the church's job. It is our role. It is our calling to help connect people to a Father that loves them, that cares for them, that has hope and healing for them. And we have so many ways in which to do that. That's my challenge to you. And what I'll say is this. The church, not just our church, the church, loves the fatherless by standing next to them and those who are standing next to them. And so loving the fatherless happens when God's love is selflessly showcased by God's people. You want to see God work. You want to see God move. You want to see families change. You want to see our community radically transformed. It starts with each and every one of us doing something, getting involved in some way. Now, to close out my time, I simply just want to pray I want to pray for families in our community, biological families that are hurting, that are suffering, that sin, drugs, trauma have affected their lives and now have affected their relationships, have affected their marriage, and ultimately have affected their own children. And so I want to ask that you would join me in this moment in praying over family and children in our community. Would you join me in prayer? God, right now, I lift up to you the hundreds and thousands of children that are in care or going into care in our communities. God, these situations are dire. There's so much hurt. There's so much pain. These children go through things and experience things that no one ever should. God, and they need the church to show up. They need the church to embrace them, to love them, to care for them. They need the church to show them hope. Hope in people again. To show them God, a Father who loves them. May we be a church that answers that call. God, we also pray for these biological families. These men, these women whose lives have been devastated by sin and trauma and fatherlessness. And it's affected them and the next generation and the next generation, God. And we know that you are the ultimate healer and redeemer. So I'm praying that we can come alongside these biological families that just need someone to show them that they're there for them. And that they're not going to hold their sin or their mistakes or their past or their neglect or all the things that the world holds against them. They're going to say, we're going to see through that and we're going to show them the grace of God, the love of God, because that is what they need to be whole again, to be healed, to find grace and compassion through your son, Jesus. That's our call. God, I pray for every person, every man or woman, every family that has answered the call to become foster parents, to welcome children into their home, to love them as their own. Would you continue to give them strength, perseverance, and endurance? Would you remind them today? Would you remind them tomorrow that what they're doing, though it is hard, it is holy, and it is worth it? They are changing the life of a child forever. God, I lift up case managers, licensing specialists, child protective investigators, transporters, anyone involved in the life of this child. I just pray that you would remind them what they do. It's hard. The pain that they experience, the pain that they learn about, it's hard. Would you continue to let your presence and your spirit flow through them so that in every moment and every interaction that your love, your grace, your peace, your compassion would shine through. God, you call us to love the fatherless, to come alongside those who are in distress, and to share the only hope, the only redemption in Jesus Christ. May that be who we are, and may we step into the things that you're calling us to. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.